smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Learning that it's not okay to let your dog off leash at the local park can be a rude awakening. In the case of Claudia Kavchinska and Cameron Wu, that realization 10 years ago led to the creation of a neighborhood newsletter, which led to the launch of a magazine, which became a very successful magazine, which led to two anthologies of canine-inspired humor to date. Claudia and Cameron are publishers of The Bark, the magazine of modern dog culture, and co-authors of the New York Times bestseller Dog Is My Co-Pilot, and most recently, Howl, a collection of the best contemporary dog wit. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Good Dog Podcast, where today we'll be talking about dog culture and lifestyle, as well as dog humor, with Claudia and Cameron. As a fan of The Bark and your books, it is very good to meet you both.
Nice to be here.
Nice being here.
Excellent. Everybody listening to the Good Dog Podcast gets that dogs are funny. It's just something you know. But what is it in particular about dogs that makes you guys laugh?
Well, you know, dogs have great timing. And everyone knows that what it takes to be a great comedian is great timing, and dogs certainly have that, whether it's, you know, sneaking up and taking that Thanksgiving turkey or hiding your slippers or turning your favorite things into toys.
Dogs. Oh, that happens in your house, too?
Exactly. So anyone who has a dog knows they're the funniest living beings around.
It's so true.
I actually think they evolved to be our sidekicks and our straight men or straight women, as it may be. But yeah, I think, you know we're at the Bark, we're great believers in this co-evolution theory of our two species, and I really do think that they sort of helped us gain a different perspective of life and have a sense of humor. I mean, how can you not laugh when you look at a dog like Lola approaching you with her big smile on her face?
She has a certain beauty.
She has a certain beauty, but she's also a very clownish dog, which isn't.
We have little Lulu, who I talk about quite frequently on the Good Dog Podcast, and we had rugs up and down our hallway until just recently. We put in nice hardwood bamboo floor, and watching her try to get her footing when we toss her toy down the hallway, and it's like a cartoon. And then finally she takes up. She's learned to, in order to slow herself down and not go flying into the wall on the other end, to kind of hop into the dining room, which still has carpet, as a way. It's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
And so she hops in just to kind of slow down and then gets back on the wood. It's quite
impressive.
Gotta
do a video of that one.
So dog humor's really changed over the years. I was reading in Howl, like, I don't know if it was the introduction that you guys wrote or the foreword that someone else wrote, but I hadn't thought about it in a long time. But in fact, when we were all growing up, dog humor was humor at the expense of dogs, which has really changed. Why
exactly? Well, you know, this is a collection of new commissioned material that we assigned to some of our favorite writers. But we are also publishing some pieces that appeared in Bark as well as in other places. And as we searched around the great libraries and archives of great dog lit, and much of it is humorous, we were just surprised at how times have changed. And you know, even as, you know, 20, 30 years ago, much of the humor was, you know, rather inhumane. I mean, at the expense of the dog. And those things, I think you still see those kinds of approaches in films. Someone was remarking that so often animals, particularly dogs, are kind of used in a very mean-spirited way, thrown out of a window, run over, flushed down a toilet. Things that are really cruel kind of humor, and it's somehow it's okay to laugh at the expense of the animal, and that's not at all part of what Bark's about. So we took great pains to update, you know, how humor and our relationship with dogs has intersected.
But I think people aren't laughing at that kind of humor as much as they used to, which absolutely dovetails with what you were saying, Claudia, about this co-evolution of the species. Our relationships with our dogs obviously is very different. I mean, you look at the industries out there that have formed, the amount of money that people are spending on their pets nowadays. Dogs, when asked, people will admit, in fact, that their dog sleeps on or in the bed with them. You know, this wasn't the case. I mean, dogs were often outside animals, right?
Yeah, and many of them still are, and many of them want to be, actually. I mean, it's not like the dividing line between obviously not outside animals versus inside animals, but it's just the way we view our relationships. I think in general, I think actually being a woman of a certain age, I certainly wasn't, when I was growing up, thought to be co-equal with men. And so we certainly have evolved along that way. I think we've evolved along the way we consider children. Obviously, perhaps in the last 200 years, that has changed more so. The dog thing has happened more in the last 20 years. So it's easier to put your hands around and sort of give definition to it about the change. I think it's absolutely marvelous, obviously. And I actually think, you know, the bark started 10 years ago, and we were not just the chroniclers of the modern dog culture, but we have heard time and time again from so many people that we made it okay for certain people to have certain thoughts about dogs that they were afraid to admit before. You know, like, yes, they sleep with their dogs. They're not alone in this world, you know. I think it's marvelous.
Yeah, that's the great thing about bark is that we were able to tap into a community that had existed, I think, for a very long time, but kind of perhaps in an isolated manner. And that's the great thing that we learned when we took our first dog to the dog park, is that there are so many like-minded people who really cared and were devoted to dogs and did things that other people probably thought were a bit crazy, such as cook for their dog, such as walk their dog 3 or 4 times a day.
Hire babysitters for their dogs.
Right. And,
or not take vacations because you can't take your dog.
Right. I mean, I once tried to take actually a previous dog to a kennel. And when I saw the scene there, I burst into tears, called home. And fortunately, a friend, you know, the trip was planned. We were leaving the next day, and a friend came to the rescue and stayed with the dog. But yeah, I don't know that I'd want to admit that 20 years ago, right?
I know.
And now Everyone was completely understanding.
Yeah.
Of course you wouldn't want to do that, you know. Which is not to malign kennels. I'm sure there are wonderful kennels out there.
There are wonderful kennels out there. And again, they have also increased their visibility and understanding of what we care about our animals. So are providing better care now for dogs.
Oh, there are some unbelievable kennels out there, better than housing of a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true. And there's backlash about that then, too.
That's a whole separate issue. But the fact of the matter is we dog fanatics have, in fact, come out of the closet, right?
Exactly. And I think it dovetails with a lot of other very important events and developments in many different areas, including science and how dogs are so much at the center of a lot of what's happening in genetics and you know, studying the mind and socialization. People now realize that animals of all kinds have feelings, whether you want to call it animal emotions, that they're sensitive beings. So when you consider that, you know, not only is it, I think, pretty clear that you don't mistreat them, but you also start to examine how you live with them and whether what you feed them, you know, should come out of a can or perhaps you would consider feeding them the same quality food that you and your family eat, as well as, you know, how you enrich an animal. It's not enough to have them, for those fortunate to have a schedule to sit at home all day, you know, at 10 or 12 hour stretches that you want to take them out. And that's the thing that we've always kind of tried to promote, being a good dog person.
Exactly. Tell me what some of the types of articles are that you cover in Bark.
Go ahead, Cameron.
Well, why don't we talk about the upcoming issue?
Well, you know, the great thing about Bark, when we started this, we thought, well, there's probably, you know, 3 or 4 issues of material, and then we're going to run out of stuff. But
I thought that about the podcast too. Wrong.
There's no end to the amazing and interesting things happening in and around dogs, from a lot of good work in the community, rescue, innovative things they're doing in dog parks, new training methods, new ways to consider health and nutrition, lots of fun things, travel, activities. Everything from dog dancing to agility.
What's dog dancing?
Oh, you don't know Freestyle?
Dancing called, with Dogs?
Oh, yeah, Doggy Freestyle.
Oh, I need to know this.
Yeah, this is marvelous. Tell. Oh, please. One day it'll be an Olympic event, I swear. Well, the first time I saw it, I just teared up. It was the sweetest thing to see. First of all, you know, the handler, the human with the dog, with the routine of dancing on a big, well, it's like an agility platform, a very large area. And the moves they make, and to music, and you can see the dog actually getting the rhythm of the music and the moves you need to make. It really is one of the most marvelous things I've ever seen.
How can I see this?
Well, you have to see it. Well, they have videos.
There must be a website.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, no, and there's...
I'm sure if you Google, you know,
world
dog
competitions
dancing
are.
Or freestyle YouTube, you will find lots of examples. But the great thing about freestyle or dog dancing is that it just reinforces that great bond that people have with their, you know, dog companions, because you are learning something together and you're training and you're taking certain behaviors and movements that are natural to a dog and then choreographing it in sync with a Barry Manilow song, which seems to be the most popular song choice.
Okay.
But it's a bit campy, but it's really amazing when you see, it's just like, wow, how can they do that? So for someone who has tried to teach a dog to sit, and if as that's their greatest or recall, their greatest accomplishment
and
in
that's
training,
okay too, right?
Yeah, well,
this truly is an Olympic quality achievement.
Yeah. Quite amazing. I bet there are certain breeds that do better at this than others.
Border collies.
But another great thing.
The mistresses of dog
dancing. Border collies, but they take over everything.
But they, you know, and that's what's so fun about, you know, doing the whole dog topic is that, you know, whether it's dog dancing or agility, again, another place where border collies shine. There's room for mutts and labs and pugs. Probably the funniest things I've seen is just seeing these little dogs, whether they're pugs or chihuahuas, do agility courses.
Yeah.
And, you know, they enjoy it just as much as the, you know, the champion border collies.
That's great. So you're not getting sick of the topic? 10
oh,
years into this?
No, never. It's funny because we were just the other day compiling a list of all the articles that we've had in the last 10 years. I mean, these magazines sitting here, there's 45 magazines there. I'm working on our 46th. But I was overwhelmed with the material. And I thought, somehow in our next issue, we have to present the compendium of
best
what we
of.
Have done. Yeah, best of, and it goes beyond that. It's just there's been so much rich material and contributors like Ann Patchett, as you see. She's been in our magazine 3 times, I believe. We get submissions. I shouldn't even call them submissions. We get people like Mary Oliver sending us poems to publish. You go, oh, my gosh, this is such an honor to be associated with people like that, and to know them, and to know they love dogs, you know, and
absolutely,
and dogs bring out the best in all of us, don't they?
It is so true. So let's tell people how they can subscribe to The Bark, and then I want to go back to Howl for just a minute.
Oh, subscribe to The Bark. You can subscribe online at thebark.com. You can also call an 800 number, 877-227-5639. Or you can get those little cards out of the magazine.
They'll fall out as soon as you open them.
Right.
Love those flying all over the bathroom, right? And something about the Howl that absolutely bears mention, and that is what you plan to do with the proceeds.
I'll take that.
I read this last night and was quite touched, and I'd rather you tell this.
Okay. Well, you know, after the Katrina disaster, we, like so many people, were struck by the impact it had on people and their pets. You know, we all sat glued to the television sets watching people struggling with making a choice, sometimes leaving their pets behind or trying to make their way to safety with their pets. And we did a whole issue devoted to the impact of Katrina on dog people, and you know, realized that there was a lot to learn from that disaster. I think emergency responsiveness has kind of benefited from that horrible event, but also There were a lot of people, individuals, as well as organizations in that part of the country that really suffered a lot, losing their facilities, having to rebuild. And the proceeds from Howl, our book, are going to the rebuilding effort in the post-Katrina Gulf area. So that's something that all of the contributors and our publisher really got behind and really supported our efforts to do that. So instead of cashing in that royalty check, we'll be sending it to a number of organizations in the Gulf region.
So I want to urge Good Dog listeners to buy a copy of Howl and know that not only will you get some great entertainment value, and the list of contributors is fabulous. It's got over 70 pieces, and it includes Al Franken, Dave Barry, Margaret Cho, Kinky Friedman. Boy, that's a name I hadn't heard in a while. Roy Blount Jr., many others. But also, you will, in fact, be making a donation to rescue efforts in the Gulf Coast area.
Yeah, I mean, we feel that BARC has been able to grow and succeed because of the generosity and the community spirit that's so great in this dog community. And we feel that we owe something to all the good people who, you know, have supported us. And now that we have this vehicle to be out in the bookstores to, you know, do some radio interviews, we want to spread the joy and give back.
It's a great looking book too. And who is this dog on the cover?
That's Lenny. Oh. That's our little terrier mix named after Lenny Bruce.
Is there any other Lenny?
And Lenny is a mixed breed terrier who does have an attitude. He does howl. And when Claudia thought to name this collection Howl, we thought, you know, he's the perfect choice to have on the cover.
Perfect. We might have to see if we can get him to howl.
We need a siren.
We need a fire.
Fred can sometimes make any sort of noise happen. Not a siren? That's not one of your noises?
No, he does only sirens. Yeah.
Cameron and Claudia, thanks so much for your generosity, for BARC Magazine, and for appearing on Good Dog.
Thanks. Enjoy speaking
with
you.
Great pleasure. Yeah, thank you.
Please email gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com.